Welcome to the June 17th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and talk about the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. Bitcoin has hit a new 2019 high as of yesterday. In the early morning hours yesterday, at around 4 a.m. Eastern Time, Bitcoin went as high as $9,380, almost $9,400. That is the new 2019 high. Before that, you got to zoom out quite a bit on the chart. Towards the end of May, Bitcoin briefly went above $9,000. I believe it lasted about like 5 minutes, and everyone on crypto Twitter was posting it's over 9,000, which was like a Dragon Ball Z thing where Goku was powering up for the first time with the power reading meter thing. And then the guy was like, he's over 9,000. So everyone was posting that on crypto Twitter like towards the end of May for like 5 minutes. And then Bitcoin plunged below 9,000. This time Bitcoin really went above 9,000 and it's over 9,000. And it almost hit $9,400. And the past couple of days, basically the rest of the day on Sunday into the early morning hours today, Bitcoin has been in a trading range between as low as almost $8,800 and, of course, $9,400 is the resistance level to beat. But this morning, Bitcoin is rising back up, and it's almost at $9,300 as I speak. If Bitcoin could break through $9,400, where there appears to be a nice little resistance level on the Bitstamp order book depth chart, then we could be talking even more gains upwards past $9,500. So I want to zoom out right now and talk about the month of June so far. So at the end of May, we had that CME Bitcoin futures expiration. It actually happened right on May 31st. And when the expiration specifically happened, Bitcoin was right around $8,400 at 11 a.m. on May 31st. So that was the expiration price, $8,400. And then Bitcoin went up a little after that to like $8,800. But then by the early days of June, maybe like June 4th, Bitcoin crashed all the way down to $7,500. And that made it seem like it was going to be a bearish month. This is because past data shows that CME Bitcoin futures expirations are important pivot points in the Bitcoin market. Oftentimes when Bitcoin's rallying for a month, it might start going down at the expiration and go down for a whole month. And sometimes when Bitcoin's going down for the whole month, the expiration on CME comes and then Bitcoin goes up for the next month. In this case, Bitcoin did go down almost immediately after the expiration, only a few days later. And then it only got as low as $7,500 low, but that was still enough for me to say the bear market is not over. But then Bitcoin has been recovering. So in the past week, Bitcoin has recovered from as low as $7,500. So it was at $7,500 specifically right around June 10th. That was the last time it was at $7,500. And Bitcoin has been constantly increasing since then. So Bitcoin has increased from $7,500 up to as high as $9,400. That's a $1,900 increase. Definitely bullish. And right now, even where it is now, it's $1,800 higher than it was about like a week ago. So in 1 week, Bitcoin has gained $1,800, which is practically 20%. Very bullish. There is no specific and exact calculation for determining when a bear market ends and when a bull market begins. Some people are saying the bull market is already happening. They've been saying that for over a month now. Some people, like me, maintain it might still be a bear market. Well, I'm going to say if Bitcoin goes past $10,000, which is possible, then I will declare the bear market to finally be over. Remember, at the bear market lows, Bitcoin was at $3,000. It was like $3,100 in December, which was the worst of the bear market, and now Bitcoin's at $9,300. So Bitcoin's up like 200% since that bear market low. Indeed, Bitcoin is the most profitable asset class of 2019. But now let's go back to why is Bitcoin rallying? Why did it suddenly switch from being bearish after the CME expiration to being bullish? Because usually if Bitcoin goes down like it did after the CME Bitcoin futures expiration, it will go down all month. But in this case, it went down for like a week, maybe almost 2 weeks, and now it's rising pretty rapidly. And there are several fundamental factors that might be influencing this. It seems like the real trigger for this recent rally we've seen in the past week, it actually kind of happened on Friday. So Bitcoin was hovering around $8,200 on Friday, and it had this weekly trading range between like $7,500 and $8,200. So it was like range bound for a week, kind of stuck in this range, and $8,200 was firm resistance. And then Binance announced that they are banning all United States users. And people on Binance that were trading that are in the United States probably in general collectively sold all their stablecoins for Bitcoin. And they sold all their altcoins for Bitcoin in order to withdraw their Bitcoin. The reason this happened is there are a lot of altcoins on Binance, and for the longest time, for years, Binance was a safe place, it seems, to store altcoins and wallets on Binance. But people that trade cryptocurrencies and crypto people in general, they don't really have wallets for all of the altcoins that are out there. They generally have like a Bitcoin wallet and maybe an Ethereum wallet and maybe a Bitcoin Cash wallet. I'm specifically talking about like the blockchain app on the phone. That's like a really easy app to use for cryptocurrency wallet purposes. But people probably don't have wallets for like all the cryptocurrencies. Not even in the top 10. They probably don't have wallets for each of the top 10. So if someone were to want to get their money out of Binance quickly, they would probably trade generally into Bitcoin and then withdraw it from Binance. So I think that happened on a large scale on Friday. And basically what happened, we noticed the Bitcoin dominance percentage rose from like 55% almost to 58%, and went up like 3%. So that means like Bitcoin rose relative to the altcoins by 3%, which, and what the charts looked like that day on Friday and into Saturday was basically all the altcoins were in the red, but Bitcoin was going up. It went past the resistance at $8,200 and kept on climbing. And then one more thing to explain the stablecoin aspect. So on Binance, it's a great way to actually trade, well, until they ban the United States users, where you could have Bitcoin. Like, if Bitcoin's going up and you expect it to go up, you hold Bitcoin on Binance. But then when Bitcoin starts to go down and you expect it to go down more, you would trade it into stablecoins. And then once Bitcoin kind of like goes lower and it hits like a certain low point that you think is the lowest it'll go, you'll take your stablecoins and then buy Bitcoin, you'll gain Bitcoin. So there's a lot of stablecoin balances sitting on Binance in general. And I think people in the United States that had a bunch of stablecoins might have just bought Bitcoin and gotten out of there, because people really don't have stablecoin wallets. It's rare for someone to actually have a wallet for the stablecoin. People usually just keep their stablecoins on the exchange and they use it to buy stuff on the exchange at the right time. So basically, just to sum that up, when Binance banned United States users, it probably caused a lot of traders in the United States to like dump all their stablecoins for Bitcoin, to dump altcoins for Bitcoin, then they withdrew their Bitcoin, and that increased Bitcoin demand by a lot. And that seems to be the spark that brought us over $9,000. There is something else very interesting going on, though, besides Binance banning United States users. And this is the first news story of the day, but it's so deeply associated with the market analysis that let's just do it now. So Hong Kong, apparently there's big protests going on in Hong Kong because China wants to make a law where if someone does a crime in Hong Kong, they get exported to mainland China. So Hong Kong is technically like owned by China, but Hong Kong has some sovereignty. It's autonomous, but now they're trying to make a law where if someone makes a crime in Hong Kong, they get shipped out to China. So there's big protests going on there. And how this impacts the market is that wealthy people in Hong Kong, we're talking people of hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars, they're moving their money out of Hong Kong right now before this bill passes. And if the bill passes, they'll try even harder to move their money out of Hong Kong. And that probably involves Bitcoin. Bitcoin has always been very popular in China, even though China has tried very hard to ban it. In fact, Hong Kong is one of the places in China, because of its autonomy and sovereignty, like, Bitcoin's still pretty much allowed in Hong Kong, and that's where exchanges are based in general that serve China, technically. So I believe that because of this Hong Kong extradition bill, wealthy people in Hong Kong are transferring lots of their money into Bitcoin and moving it offshore, or hiding it. They don't even have to move it offshore, they can just hide it in their own Bitcoin wallets and no one can touch it. But the general movement, like, there's one example where this guy that has $100 million, and this is the real news, he's moving it all to Singapore through the bank. And then there's probably many more people than that just moving it into Bitcoin. So there's probably, like, tremendous Bitcoin demand coming out of Hong Kong right now. And this isn't the first time that China has had a major influence on Bitcoin's price. It seems like a lot of the bull market might have been due to Chinese capital controls. Due to the Chinese-United States trade war, basically, with the trade war going on, China's trying to, like, suppress the U.S. dollar. But people in China really want the U.S. dollar. Like, traders over there really want the U.S. dollar. So Bitcoin's a great way to move money from, like, the Chinese yuan to the U.S. dollar. And that's probably caused a lot of the bull market, because capital controls were limiting the amount of U.S. dollars that Chinese citizens could get. But then they could just move their money into Bitcoin and get as much U.S. dollars as they want. So we're seeing now the second stage of that. So just to summarize, basically, Chinese capital controls might have led to the whole bull market in general, or been a major force, because they don't want people to get U.S. dollars, but then wealthy people in China move their money into Bitcoin to get U.S. dollars. So that's a major demand for Bitcoin. And now we're seeing the Hong Kong extradition bill add some spice and some fuel to that, basically now we have like a lot of people in Hong Kong moving their money into Bitcoin in order to get it out of Hong Kong. The third factor that might be strongly influencing the Bitcoin market and helping it to rally is Iran. So Iran has been blamed by the United States for sinking two oil tankers in the Strait of Hormuz. Like, they got drone footage of it. They saw the boats from Iran pull right up next to the oil tankers and put some magnetic mines onto it. And then Iran even tried to shoot down the drone that was taking pictures of that. So now Britain is sending in the Royal Marines, and the United States already has like a ton of nuclear warships over there right next to Iran. So it's becoming a real flashpoint with a lot of militaries right in the Strait of Hormuz, which is like a narrow body of water between Iran and like Saudi Arabia, pretty much. That's like the choke point for the Persian Gulf. So yeah, if war breaks out with Iran, global trade would be severely disrupted, and there might be serious money printing by governments in order to fund that war, which would cause fiat inflation. And Bitcoin's always a safe haven for fiat inflation. Like, if there's fiat inflation, like the USD loses value from inflation, from money printing, for a war, Bitcoin would automatically go up in value. And then also, if the markets suffer due to global trade being really compromised, Bitcoin would also go up in value because the stock market would become weak and then Bitcoin would be one of the only profitable assets. So we're seeing this trifecta of Binance banning United States users, Hong Kong scaring wealthy people with this extradition bill, and now they're moving all their money into Bitcoin, and a possible war with Iran. So the market has some really good fundamentals today, and right now Bitcoin is moving upwards past $9,300 as I speak. It looks like it's trying to make another attempt at $9,400. One more very interesting thing to note is that the Fed is having a meeting today, so that's the Federal Reserve, and they're talking about the Fed funds rate. So the Fed funds rate was raised like ever so slightly around Christmas time last year, and that caused a serious stock market crash. And so the Fed has gone from trying to raise the interest rate, and the President of the United States like really publicly torched the Fed for on Twitter. He says, well, the Fed's ruining the stock market. So now the Fed has gone from like they're raising interest rates to they're lowering interest rates. And some people might be expecting an interest rate cut of about a quarter or half of a point. And some people are expecting it today, even though that's unlikely. It might be announced that it'll happen like in July or at the end of July, pretty much. But yeah, today is a pivotal meeting at the Federal Reserve, and it's going to have a major influence on the stock market. Right now, the stocks are slightly up, even though there's a lot of hype about a Fed funds rate cut. And we'll see what happens at the meeting. Like, even if they say, hey, we're not raising it or we're not lowering the rate until the end of July, that might even cause like the stock market to go into the red. Because the stock market has been generally very weak since like January 2018, to be honest. So for over a year and a half now, the stock market has been sideways and volatile. And even if they cut the rate today, that might cause like a rally for like a day or two, maybe for this week. But in general, the stock market's running up against really strong resistance at 26,500 points on the Dow Jones, and it can't really get past that. And even positive news doesn't move the market up that much. And even if there's news that's kind of lukewarm, kind of positive, the market might go down anyways on the stock market. So yeah, something very important is happening for the stock market today, basically, with this Fed funds meeting. And that will be important to watch, because the ultimate kicker beyond those three factors we talked about that are helping Bitcoin go up would be if the stock market starts to crash again, which is quite likely, actually, because the bond yield curve inverted. So basically, like longer-term bonds, like the 10-year Federal Reserve bond, Federal Treasury bond, like the 10-year bond, the rate of it went below the 3-month bond because so many people are going to longer-term bonds to as a safe haven for their money, basically. And that indicates there's a likely stock recession within about a year now. So that will be the ultimate factor that might take Bitcoin to all-time highs, I think, when the stock market finally does crash. Right now, it's kind of like holding steady and volatile in that range it's been at, between like 26,500 and maybe like 25,000 points. And if it breaks below that range, that's when Bitcoin really might start to rally. So that's something to watch for the long term. Moving on to the rest of the market analysis. After a couple of days of the altcoins not doing so good following the Binance banning United States users, where people move their money from altcoins into Bitcoin. So today altcoins are finally looking kind of green. It's mostly in the green on the altcoin market. And so yeah, that's better than it was. It was in the red for the past couple of days, like I said. So right now Ethereum is up 1.3%. It's near $273. Ripple's up 4.1%, over 43 cents. Litecoin is up 1%, near $136. Bitcoin Cash is up 2.2%, near $438. EOS is up 1.6%. It's back over $7. Binance Coin is up 0.5%. Binance Coin was hard hit by that announcement. It went from being at the all-time high of like $36, maybe as low as $32. So that's not as bad as it could have been, but it still went down a lot. And right now it's near $33. Bitcoin SV is up 8.8%, near $230. Stellar is up 1%. Cardano is up 1.9%. Tron is up 1.6%. Monero is up 4.1%. Near $99, and I noticed in general Monero is doing better than other cryptos this week. Monero is kind of like matching the pace of Bitcoin, and today it's even exceeding Bitcoin's pace. Dash is up 0.8% near $160. Cosmos is up over 10%, so Cosmos is rallying again. IOTA is like the only major crypto that I see that's in the red. It's down 2%. NEO is up 2.5%. Ethereum Classic is up 0.2%. Tezos is up 4.2%. Zcash is up 4.5% near $97. Very interesting that Zcash's price is near Monero's price now. Zcash has really been gaining in the past week or two. And Dogecoin is actually down 0.2%. So only IOTA and Dogecoin are down a little bit, and then the rest of the crypto market's in the green. And now the total crypto market is at a new 2019 high of $289 billion as I speak. It's gone up a good amount this morning alone. So it hit $289 billion yesterday, and then it kind of went below that as low as $279 billion. But now it's back to $289 billion, and that is the 2019 high. It's 189% above that bear market low of $100 billion in December. So the crypto market collectively has gained 189%, and Bitcoin's up about 200%. So Bitcoin's kind of leading. So that's a very strong recovery. Bordering on, like, this is almost a bull market, and I'm about almost ready to declare that this is a bull market. I want to see Bitcoin rise one more time, though, it hit 10,000, and then I'll officially declare that the bear market is over. Moving on to the first news story of the day. Craig Wright, who claims to be Satoshi Nakamoto, the creator of Bitcoin, but most of the crypto space does not believe him, is being subpoenaed. So he has been in a federal court case in the Southern District of Florida for a while now, for months and months. And it's the court case of he mined 1.1 million Bitcoins with Dave Kleinman. So there's no doubt Craig Wright was there since the early days. Like the earliest days, Craig Wright was mining Bitcoin with his friend Dave Kleinman. And they mined 1.1 million Bitcoins, like an unfathomable amount. Miners can't mine that much anymore. And then Dave Kleinman unfortunately died. And Craig Wright did not give any of that money to like Dave Kleinman's family. And so Craig Wright put all that money into a trust, quote unquote, supposedly. And that trust has like a lot of people involved with it, apparently. And so the court has demanded already. They demanded Craig Wright like give over details of who is controlling this Bitcoin trust of the 1.1 million Bitcoins. And what the Bitcoin addresses are and how much Bitcoin exactly was mined. And Craig Wright first was trying to dismiss the case. So he put a bunch of orders to dismiss. The judge overturned them and said, no, like, this is, like, the whole case. You got to give me the info because this is, like, literally the entire case. And, yeah, we do have jurisdiction. So Craig Wright was still, like, even after the first time he tried to get the case dismissed for not having jurisdiction over him and they overturned that, he kept trying to say there's no jurisdiction. But the judge is like, no, we definitely have jurisdiction and this is the case. How much Bitcoins did you mine? Who's in control of this trust? What addresses are the Bitcoins in? And Craig Wright has so far refused to say any of that info, and he claims that due to the cryptography of the trust, like he says he can't see that himself, he needs multiple people to like give him his key so he can see how much Bitcoins are in the trust. And the judge is like, well, this is like a safety deposit box where like the bank manager has a key and then you have a key and you both put your key in, you open the box. So he's like, hey, we're the federal court of the United States, give us the names of all the people that are in control of this trust, and we'll get them to open the safety deposit box because we're the federal court and we'll subpoena them. So Craig Wright has been absolutely subpoenaed at this point, and today is the deadline. It's on or before June 17, 2019. Wright has to produce a complete list of all the Bitcoins he mined prior to December 31st. And now he's been subpoenaed. He's coming to the United States if he wants to be in compliance. So he has to show up in the United States. He's coming to West Palm Beach, Florida on June 28th at 9 a.m. to go to court. And if he doesn't go to court, he could get criminal contempt of court. So it says civil and or criminal, probably both, because this is like a huge amount of money. And the judge is already getting angry because Craig Wright has kind of been wasting the court's time with all these orders to dismiss. So yeah, Craig Wright has to show up in person on June 28th. And today he has to furnish all that evidence today And if he doesn't furnish it today, he's going to be in trouble when he shows up on June 28th. So today's kind of like a make or break day. And then we'll find out on June 28th at 9 a.m. what happens. Like, literally, if he doesn't show up to that court at 9 a.m., he's going to have a warrant out for his arrest for contempt of court, criminal contempt of court. And generally, that only carries like a month in jail. But that's still pretty bad. And obviously, if he's in jail for a month, they're going to get all the info they want out of him. So we're going to see what happens. I don't want to speculate if he's going to show up or not. We're just going to wait and see. And 11 days from now is the time of truth and judgment for Craig Wright. He has to show up at court in 11 days from now. And if he doesn't, he's in big, big trouble and he will be a fugitive. I don't want to speculate that's going to happen. He could show up and give all the info and there won't be problems for him besides he might lose the court case. But it looks like either way this court case is going against him. The judge is like really on the side of Dave Kleiman's estate. And the inheritors of Dave Kleiman, from all the facts I've read, I've studied this case for a while, it seems like they do deserve a good share of those 1.1 million bitcoins. So it seems like the judge is angling towards that, and now the judge is putting up the pressure on Craig Wright by issuing an official subpoena and threatening to throw him in jail if he doesn't like comply with the court. Moving on to the next story of the day. So Bitcoin is at new 2019 highs as far as price goes, but in terms of other parameters, Bitcoin is actually at all-time highs. So Bitcoin has surpassed 1 million daily active addresses per day now. So that's all the addresses that are actually active in a particular day. And the last time Bitcoin had that many active addresses was when Bitcoin was near its all-time high of $20,000. So we're seeing activity on the Bitcoin network equal to what it was when Bitcoin was $20,000. And that's actually quite bullish that there's like so much use for Bitcoin now as it was when it was double the price of now. And that would lead some strategists to say that Bitcoin will go back to $20,000 and it should be there. And then here's another factor that's also equally important. Bitcoin's hash rate has hit a new all-time high. So the last time Bitcoin's hash rate hit an all-time high was on August 26th when Bitcoin's hash rate went up to 61.9 exahash per second. And then on June 13th, 4 days ago, Bitcoin's hash rate went as high as 62.3 exahash per second. So that beat out the last all-time high by 0.4 exahash per second, which is about 400,000 terahashes per second. What this basically means is that all the Bitcoin miners that were shut off during the bear market, they're all back online and even a little more. So when the bear market happened, Bitcoin's hash rate plunged as low as 32 exahash per second or so. Like it got cut in half basically. Like half of all the Bitcoin mining rigs in the world were turned off pretty much because it cost more in electricity than the amount of Bitcoin earned. But now, since Bitcoin's price has gone up so much, all those miners that are still alive, like all the miners that didn't get destroyed or scrapped, like they got all turned on and even a little more than that. So this is really good news for the Bitcoin mining industry, like companies like Bitmain that produce Bitcoin mining rigs. Now they can start selling new rigs as long as Bitcoin price keeps rising. So if Bitcoin goes to 10,000, we're talking the mining manufacturers are going to start making sales and they'll start ramping up their production. And pretty much the mining industry will become healthy again. It's on the precipice right now. It's almost there. All the mining rigs from the past are turned on. And now, if Bitcoin rises some more, they're going to be able to start selling a lot of new rigs. That's major news for the Bitcoin mining industry. Zooming out, these two parameters, the amount of active addresses and the Bitcoin mining hash rate, indicate that Bitcoin's as healthy as it's ever been. It's as healthy as it's ever been, even when Bitcoin was at the all-time high of $20,000. And that makes it optimistic that maybe Bitcoin could go back to $20,000. Moving on to the next story of the day. The launch of Facebook's cryptocurrency, which is apparently called Libra, it seems like. So first it was called Global Coin, but now it's being called Libra. And we'll see exactly what it's called when it goes live. At least the white paper is expected to go live maybe as soon as tomorrow. Like I saw some speculation that looked kind of official that there would be an announcement tomorrow regarding the exact details of Libra, Facebook's cryptocurrency. The news for today is that there's a more complete list of the people that are going to be running nodes on Facebook's cryptocurrencies network. So what they're doing is basically, if a company pays $10 million, they could become a node on the cryptocurrencies network. And there's only going to be 100 nodes in total, so that's like a $1 billion of raising funds for Facebook's cryptocurrency, basically. And it's like distributed proof of stake, like EOS. Basically, EOS functions by, like, they vote for who's going to be a node on the EOS network. And it's a highly coveted position because there's a lot of money to make by winning that position. And so they need a certain amount of EOS to be staked in order to even be voted as a node, and then people have to vote for them, sort of thing. Well, with Facebook's cryptocurrency, literally a company pays $10 million in their node for life. So we're seeing some pretty big companies come out to become nodes for this Facebook cryptocurrency called Libra. So we have MasterCard and Visa and PayPal and PayU and Stripe on the payment processor side of things. And then Uber and Lyft are both becoming nodes on Facebook's cryptocurrency's network. And by the way, before I go on with the list, probably every company that is a node, I'm not going to speculate too far, but it's likely that maybe Uber and Lyft would integrate this cryptocurrency. And then MasterCard and Visa are the primary competitors, and PayPal. So MasterCard, PayPal, and Visa are the primary competitors with this sort of cryptocurrency. So it's not like Bitcoin. Libra is going to be like a stablecoin, except it's not just like Tether, where it's a stablecoin that people use on the exchanges. It's going to be a stablecoin that people use in everyday life. So that's a pretty big innovation, where we have a stablecoin, like basically a cryptocurrency that's kind of like PayPal. So it's like a blockchain-based PayPal. And so the biggest competitor with the stablecoin Libra would be PayPal, Visa, and MasterCard. And so they're all jumping in. And the reason MasterCard and Visa are competitors, just to be clear, is that the whole point of this is to cut out credit cards, like to cut out the middleman. So there's credit card fees every time you send a transaction, even though you don't know it, and that causes merchants to lose money. And basically the point of Libra is that they can avoid those fees just by having a cryptocurrency blockchain-based network instead of using like the Visa or MasterCard network. But Visa and MasterCard want a cut of the action, so they've become a node on the network. And then other companies that are backing Libra and have paid $10 million are eBay, and apparently Mercado Libre and Farfetch, which are all e-commerce sites, the biggest of which is eBay, obviously. And then Booking.com, which is like a travel site. And then even blockchain companies, Coinbase, Zappo, Anchorage, and Bison Trails, the biggest of those is Coinbase and Zappo, have become nodes on Facebook's cryptocurrencies network. So we're seeing even Coinbase, like the biggest retail exchange in the United States, is getting in on this. And that might indicate they're going to launch it live on Coinbase when it comes out. I think that's pretty obvious at this point. I don't want to speculate, but that seems obvious that Coinbase would offer Libra on their exchange, so people could trade Bitcoin to Libra, and that would be a pretty big utility for the network. And then we've seen major investment firms, Andreessen Horowitz, Creative Lab Destruction, Thrive Capital, Ribbit Capital, and Unicorn Square Ventures. So major investment firms are becoming nodes on the network. Spotify is a node on the network, so maybe Spotify will include this cryptocurrency too. And then the telecommunications companies, Iliad and Vodafone. And then we have some nonprofit organizations, Women's World Banking, Mercy Corps, and Kiva. So that's all the companies so far that have been announced to be nodes, and they have each paid $10 million to be a node on this cryptocurrency's network. So this indicates it's a pretty major movement by the corporations, and it seems like a lot of corporations all at once are going to be adopting this cryptocurrency that's coming out, Facebook's cryptocurrency called Libra, aka Globalcoin. And that might mean that we're going to see the stablecoin network available suddenly through a lot of corporations and sites that are commonly used in the mainstream. So this is a major step for cryptocurrency adoption, but it's not like Bitcoin, like I said. It's expected to be a stablecoin pegged to the value of a dollar, maybe to a basket of world currencies, but probably a dollar, and they'll probably use different currencies. Like, let's say you're in Europe, like they'll probably use the Euro version. If you're in the United States, they'll use the United States version. I don't think they'll just average in all the cryptocurrencies into one coin and then only have one coin, because that'd be kind of weird. Then it would depend on the global currency markets. It wouldn't be as good as just having a dollar. But I'm just speculating. But yeah, it seems like we're going to see a massive proliferation of stablecoin use through this Facebook stablecoin, and I think this will probably jump to the top 10 on CoinMarketCap pretty quickly. But of course, it's not like something you could invest in. So it's not something that traders would be interested in. It's not something that's going to rise in value like Bitcoin has. It's something to compete with PayPal and MasterCard and Visa. But then again, PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa have joined in on the action. And so basically, if you can't beat them, join them. And that's what they're doing. They're jumping in on this. And that's just making it all the more powerful. So we might see like a cryptocurrency, like a blockchain-based payments network, become one of the top payment networks in the world, which is a major advancement for crypto adoption. But simultaneously, it's not even anywhere near as close as interesting as Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies that actually have fundamental unique characteristics that give them intrinsic value. In this case, it's literally just like a dollar. So like the stablecoin, despite all the fuss and hype and how much it will be used, I'm sure it's going to be important, But it really, in the end, is just a virtual dollar, and there's going to be dollars held in a bank backing it, and it's a dollar. It's another form of a dollar, and nothing really changes with that. It's just a different way to have the backbone of the payment infrastructure. Most notably, I'm sure Libra is not going to be decentralized. It looks very centralized at this point, and it'll probably be possible to reverse payments, and also it won't be anonymous. So Bitcoin has a lot of value because it's decentralized, and it can be used anonymously. Also, Libra has none of those advantages, so it's not anywhere near as interesting as Bitcoin. That's all I have for you today on this June 17th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode and go to Crypto.IQ 24/7 for the most interesting stories in the crypto and Bitcoin space. Also, join that Crypto.IQ trading desk. They have made over 400% profit since July. They're making mad money over there. And if you join the Crypto.IQ trading desk, you can see their trades in real time, and there's a full trade analysis of each trade. Just by reading that trade analysis, you could become an expert cryptocurrency trader. And it gets even better. You can ask the Crypto.IQ traders questions in real time, and they'll answer your questions pretty quickly. So joining the Crypto.IQ trading desk is the best way to become an expert and profitable cryptocurrency trader. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.